If you have the opportunity to visit Armenia, we highly encourage you to visit areas outside of Yerevan. It is here that a different type of connection is made with people and the communities that make up the beautiful Armenian countryside. For our guest, this deep connection led to a love of one specific area that he has now rallied his community around. With these efforts, he has led the charge of improving the infrastructure and overall quality of life in this area. Pati Luis. My name is Sophia, and I'm joined by my co-host, Executive Director of the Pottos Foundation, Peter Abadjian, and our very special guest, Stepan Pilijan, a community activist and columnist. Welcome, Stepan.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Pati Luis, Sophia. Pati Luis, Stepan.
Pati Luis. So, Stepan, we're going to just go right into the questions. How did you get involved with philanthropy in Armenia?
It goes back to our first visit to Armenia, where we were a typical tourist, but I wasn't satisfied with being an American Armenian tourist. We did that once, and our successive trips after that, this goes back to 2011-12, we started selectively getting involved in some charitable efforts, educational efforts, and mostly from a distance, though. But that's how it started. We felt that the homeland was ours and that investing in it was important. And we wanted to set that example for our children.
That's amazing. You know, your model of philanthropy that you're now, you know, sort of fully engaged in, along with your family and many of your friends, is essentially to, you know, rally support around one particular village and adopt that village per se, and work with them through their list of problems to try to improve the community and improve, you know, their lives. And you know, I mean, personally, I'm very proud to be working with you and your family. And we have one other family that's followed this kind of model as well, to adopt and invest and work through. And now actually there's a third family coming up. So, you know, this is really an awesome model, but particularly, you know, you're concerned and involved in Bayer Sevag. What drew you to that area and to that village?
Well, actually it was a series of wonderful events that happened. My wife and I had been investing through the Armenia Tree Project, donating like a lot of people do. And in 2017, our friend at the Tree Project at that time, Jason Sohegan, asked us, where would you like these trees to be planted? Do you care? Do you want them to just be spread around the country? Or is there one particular area you'd like to? And our response was, we would like to see it located in a border village. I've always had an affinity for the border villages of Armenia because of their strategic importance and the national security aspects of it. So we felt that if there was an area to invest, that's where we could make a difference. The Tree Project selected Bayer Sevag primarily because they had been working with Bayer Sevag on some tree planting activities for a couple of years, and they had experience and had felt that they had vetted out the village as someone who would be serious. So in June of 2018, on a family trip with our children and our granddaughter, who was one at the time, and with our cousins, the Hamparians from Chicago, we visited the village primarily to see the small forest that had been planted in our parents' names. And it took off from there. We had a remarkable visit with the then mayor, the late mayor, Edik Stepanian. And we went from there into a number of projects.
That's terrific. That's a great story. When, you know, the work that we've been able to accomplish in Bayer Sevag is really now at the level of life changing for the residents of Bayer Sevag. Can you kind of give us a summary of, you know, what's been done, what's currently happening and what we hope to do in the future in the community? Sure.
Well, we started off by meeting with the mayor in 2018 and saying, you know, what's your most important need? What can we do to help? Like most American Armenians, we were emotionally engaged and we ran to Yerevan and bought athletic equipment and things like that. But we wanted to do something more sustainable. He responded that they had no computers in the village, no functioning computers for the children. We went into what used to be their computer lab, and it looked like, you know, at least 20-year-old technology, none of it working, networks down, et cetera. So we said, we'll go see what we can do, and we'll come back. And that was in June. We went home, we raised money, and we installed in October 12 workstations for both the principal and the teachers. And these are, you know, with 24-inch screens, internet, you know, networked. We did a complete restructuring of the infrastructure, both battery backup, et cetera, software upgrades. And we went back in October to open it. And I'll never forget what the mayor said to us. He said, you know, many people come here, but you came back. And that began a wonderful relationship with the Stepanian family. After that, we said, what's next? And he showed us this almost destroyed building next door that their dream was that they were going to have a preschool. The village had no preschool. So children 4 and 5 years old did not have the opportunity to go. They had one small, what we would call kindergarten in America class in this building, but it was a decrepit condition, mold, you know, broken walls, no functioning toilets. It was almost like they were squatters in a building that should have been condemned. We went back home after that and we said, okay, let's see what we can do. But it was pretty clear at that time that we needed a partner, because when you get into construction, that was beyond, you know, our individual capability. I did some research on my own, and we discovered Paros Foundation. And that was the second epiphany that we had, if you will. The first was discovering the village. The second was this wonderful relationship that we have with the Paros Foundation. So I talked with Peter. We built a relationship, which turned into a friendship, going on 6 years now. And that first project or series of projects was taking that bombed out building and turning it into a functioning preschool, which now has two floors that have been refurbished, four full classrooms, a state-of-the-art kitchen, classrooms for the students, and also for their nap time. We found other partners through Peter that contributed material and such as furnishings for the rooms and playground equipment. The nurses' station was upgraded. You know, a number of wonderful, including the function room on the second floor where they now hold cultural events. From there, the other major project, we've done a number of smaller projects on curriculum and other things for the secondary school. But last winter, for the first time, these students now have, in the secondary school, where there's about 100 students, they now have heat for the first time. And working with Paros, we installed a centralized heating system similar to the one that was put into the preschool. And these children no longer have to sit with winter boots and coats on in the classroom. They had these dysfunctional space heaters, which were really not offering much in terms of heat and were dangerous, in fact. And now they have a centralized heating system. We're currently working on with Peter refurbished bathrooms for the secondary school. The bathrooms, I wouldn't consider anything more than a hole in the ground at this point. They will have, by June, three beautiful tiled functioning bathrooms, one for men, one for women, and one for the teachers. And I guess what's on the docket next is the only open wing left in the preschool. We want to turn it into a cultural wing, which is kind of a dream of the current mayor and his community, to have an area with multiple rooms where they can conduct music lessons, dance lessons, instrumental lessons, and they won't have to farm their kids out to other villages, but rather hold them locally and actually attract more students into the locale because they'll have this capability locally. So that's kind of a quick summary. We've also talked about moving out of the educational exclusivity and moving into economic projects where we can do job creation. You know, when we spoke to Edik Stepanyan originally, we asked him, what do you need? He said, in general terms, superb schools for our children and the opportunity to keep people here through employment. So that is what we're all about. And these people now have become family. They've become friends. And we love them dearly, and we think they love us also.
Wow. It's been the work, the seeing the transformation every time we drive by the village or every time we visit the village is really spectacular. And it's so cool to see the enthusiasm in the, you know, within the community. They, you know, as you know, they don't have any arable land immediately adjacent to their community. It's an awful lot of rock, except for the forest that you planted several years ago. And actually, it's looking amazing. It's so fun to be there in the spring when everything's in bloom. But you know, these the water project that you are currently working on to bring irrigation water into the community, and you know, the outdoor play area for the kids, you know, some of this other stuff that you've these smaller projects that you've been on top of and have attracted resources to the community through really adds a new dimension in village life. And that's really, really key. So bravo to you.
You know, if I could add, in our last trip, which was at the end of October, it was our first opportunity to meet the mayor who passed away unexpectedly during COVID, his son, who is now the mayor, Ludwig Stepanyan. And Ludwig is about my son's age. He's in mid-30s and feels this responsibility to now lead what his father had led. And we really got to bond with him. We shared, three meals in his home. He invited us to his home. We met his children, his wife, his mother, and we broke bread together in a true Armenian fashion. And we're no longer just business associates or whatever you would call it. We're really just people helping each other. And we may not live there, but we're part of that village. And they're part of our family. And we're very proud of that. You know, these people have, they live on a border of Nakhichevan. You can see the hills with the Azeri soldiers just a couple of kilometers away. And they understand the essence of patriotism because they talk about the land. This is our land. And when you think of it in a greater context, if the border villages are vacated, then Armenia has a massive national security issue. Yet these people are the real heroes in Armenia. They go about their daily lives with humility and with commitment.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. And it's so heartwarming to hear, you know, not only what work you're doing there, but the relationships and the community that you've built across the world. But, you know, you guys are so close, and it's beautiful to see that unfold. You know, what has been the biggest thing that you've learned since starting this journey? I'm sure there's a lot that you can speak to on this.
Well, you know, the one thing that I've learned personally, and my wife, Susan, and our cousins, John and Beth Hamparian, together, the four of us and our extended families, is that, and I try and impart this on my friends in the Armenian community, we're active in the community on the East Coast, is don't just write a check. Go there and meet the people. And when you meet the people, you will have an emotional experience that will make your participation sustainable. So what I try and convince people is of what I've learned, which is the real beauty of this relationship is all about being there, going there, being on the ground, knowing the people. It's not about buildings. The buildings are they're the output of the relationship, but the essence of it is the people that we've met. We know teachers, we know students, we know the mayor, we know common people. Case in point, Peter, you know, with his vast network of people helping, one of the groups, the Hoops for Hayastan group, recently funded the installation of the first playground that they have, an asphalted playground with basketball hoops and soccer nets. And these kids are out there constantly. They didn't have a place to go. So they're not just there during recess. They're there after school. They're there on Saturdays and Sundays. And recently we got input that another village came and they had some kind of a soccer match with another village, with kids from another village. And it's just incredible how these things proliferate once you start something simple. So my message to my fellow American Armenian buddies and friends is invest, pick one place, don't dilute yourself. Once you do one thing, ask what's next and invest in that village. That's this so-called adoption model. And if we do that, what I've learned is no matter what we do, we're getting so much more back than we could ever give. I mean, it's called feeling fulfillment in life. You know, we have all this material stuff around us in America, and people aren't happy all the time. You go there, they have nothing materially, and they're so happy. They're so grateful. It's almost like rolling the clock back, 50 years or 100 years when life was simpler and people were happier, frankly. And so what we found in working with this village is we found a sense of fulfillment and making a difference in the lives of people. And there's nothing, you can't put a price on that.
That's absolutely awesome. I think you already answered our signature question regarding what people can do to get involved.
Could I offer one comment about Paros? I want to say this because I really believe it. It's very rare in the Armenian community when you look at the theoretical capability of an operation and then in practice and seeing that they're the same. You know, sometimes you get disappointed, or sometimes it falls apart, or sometimes it just doesn't work out. When we first looked at the theoretical on paper capabilities through their website and through conversations of Paros, our experience has been equal to that and even greater. And, we were attracted by the construction experience and the fact that the foundation allows the allocation of 100% of your donation toward a targeted project. Those are very attractive things. What's even greater is that once you start working with people like Peter and Geram and the others, is that their efficiency, their productivity is unmatched. I would match it against any nonprofit working in Armenia. I mean, what they do in terms of projects and output, you would possibly say they have a staff of 50 people doing it. And then you find out that it's Peter and his band of four or five people that are producing this output. It's remarkable. And their buying power, their efficiency, their project management, and their collaborative skills are just, so I tell people, don't just invest in Armenia. If you're looking for a partner, look no further than Paros. We did your homework for you, because you'll get stuff done. And that's really, at the end of the day, that's what it's about, getting things done.
That's just amazing. Thank you so much, Stepan, for that terrific endorsement of the work. Look, we're all in this thing called Armenia together, right? We try to do our jobs to the best of our ability to attract partners like you and your family and your friends to tackle these needs and get them done in a way that we can all be proud of. You know, nothing drives me more crazy than going to a site and seeing somebody's name on a project, you know, and the place being, you know, having fallen apart and nobody cared about it. You know, one thing that we do when we're in Armenia regularly is stop into old projects and make sure everything's still you know, wearing appropriately. I mean, stuff wears out, I get it, but, you know, stuff that we've done, projects that we've tackled have to be maintained and have to be followed up with. And if you do them in a right way, you get the community to buy in. So they're proud of the work and they take care of it as well. And it's terrific. You know, and the one thing that I want to add, and I guess we can wrap up our podcast with this is, because of the fact that you and your family have focused on Bayer-Sevag, it's had a ripple effect, and, you know, others are taking note and paying attention to not only the model of, you know, I should focus my efforts be based on your advice to this particular community, or, you know, or what's the best place to start in the community, et cetera. But, you know, we've been able to partner and take our Service Armenia groups now twice to the site and, you know, help out with some maintenance stuff, help out with some minor work there. But it's been a great experience. So, you know, the community takes a step forward and decides outside of the kindergarten that you decided to, you know, focus efforts on. They wanted to focus on building a little park between, you know, the tree project forest and the entrance to the kindergarten. And then we were able to bring the Service Armenia participants and do a little work there. And I'm proud to say we're going to be going back in a couple of weeks here and doing some work on the fence outside and some other odds and ends on the campus. And it's how we ultimately build a broader community and keep these folks knowing that people care. So thank you.
You know, Peter, a small example, when we come back from Armenia, I try and give a few presentations in the community to update people on the work, et cetera. Well, in our parish, in our church, the Church of the Holy Translators, we have a ladies group that puts on a tea as a fundraiser every May. And on their own, without us influencing it, other than making them aware what's going on, they choose a charity to donate to every year. And this year, on their own, they informed Susan and I they want to donate to the Bayer-Sevag Paros effort. And as you know, the funding is going to go toward the renovation of the bathrooms. And that event, that fundraiser is next week. And we've been invited to show some slides before and after and to, you know, energize the crowd. And I will certainly take the opportunity to encourage each of them individually to jump in and make that commitment personally and not just, you know, stand from a distance. We can make a difference by being on site. So it's a great, and it keeps getting better, you know, whether it's other friends that join in or more ideas, we're going to continue. And this is a lifelong commitment. I mean, it's not a one and done. It's not five and done. We're going to keep doing this as long as God grants us health.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, that's incredible. We need more people like you, Stepan, in all of our communities throughout the world. We really could make a big difference as Armenians. So thank you for being that beacon of positivity and hope. And I hope that people that are listening are inspired by what you've done and what you continue to do. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Thank you for being part of our podcast. And it's really been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Stepan. Thank you, Sophia.
Thank you to everyone listening. We hope you have a great day.